The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you this evening. We receive your word this evening and throughout this weekend upon good ground. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge. I ask that these meetings throughout this weekend will be turning points for us, reference points for us, meetings we will refer to in the future, and we'll be grateful to God for the opportunities to be here. In this place and across all the centers, we ask for a mighty, mighty move of your spirit. We ask for clarity, and we will never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's be seated. Good evening, everyone. So, is man up, okay? 2025. Glory to God. It's always an opportunity to talk to ourselves as men. You know, the Bible is written to everyone. The Bible, every part of the Bible is written to everyone. And so there is no part of the Bible specially written to some persons. Every Christian should, you know, be able to read the Bible and every part of the Bible. However, there are particular places and portions of the Bible that were addressed to different people. If you check maybe 1 Timothy chapter 5 from verse 1, Paul began to speak to Timothy. Take note, he was talking to Timothy, who was a pastor. So Timothy was a pastor. So he was teaching Timothy as a pastor on how to relate with and address different people under his care. So he said, rebuke not an elder. In other words, there is a way you talk to an elder. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. So even though Timothy was young, he had elders in his church. So Paul was telling him how he can talk to those elders. And I said, and the younger men as brethren. And in verse 2, he said, the elder women as mothers and all of that. So he was telling him how to talk to different groups of persons. And that tells you that what I'm trying to say is this, there are certain teachings, right, that we want to do in the church. Even though the whole Bible is addressed to everybody, but there are cases where we have to, you see, separate a certain group of persons and address them. And man up offers us an opportunity to talk to men alone. Praise God. And I think it's a great thing that we are doing as a church. I think it's a great thing we are doing as a church because I say this every year during Man Up, the male gender have not really been given attention. Even in training, there are many women conferences you see all over the world, but you can hardly see a men's conference. It's just about women. Women supporting women. I was thinking about it recently. There are many NGOs that are focused on women and children. I don't know of any NGO focused on men. Do you know any? I don't know of any NGO focused on men. And so those NGOs are there to fight for the rights of women, to fight for the rights of children. There is no NGO that fights for the rights of men. And it goes to show, it reflects in everything. There are no conferences that address men. There are no teachings, trainings. For instance, I say it all the time, when we are growing up, anything your kid's sister does, they will say to her, is that how you're going to do your husband's house? So from childhood, women are being prepared for marriage. From childhood, they are taught to cook early because they're going to marry one day. Are you following what I'm saying? But nobody ever thinks of the man they're going to marry. And it's a problem, and our generation is reaping the problem. You train women and they marry untrained men, there's going to be a problem. Are you following the point? And so meetings like this, where we make our time to discuss and talk with ourselves as young men, right? We must take it very seriously. Amen. So every year, the Lord points me in a direction, you know, that we're going to go. And this year, I'll be talking about leadership. So I titled it, Learning to Lead. Praise God. Learning to lead. Learning to lead. Every man should learn leadership. I'll say it again. Every man should learn leadership. And this is because, apart from the different places that God will have you lead, for instance, church. Some of you can grow to become leaders, pastors, or anything in church. Some of you can become leaders in your company and in your office. Okay? There are different places that God will have you lead. There are different places that life will make you lead. Maybe you start a business, become a CEO, or they even promote you in your company. There are people under you. You lead in different places. Apart from these places where anybody can lead, the man was given a special responsibility from God to lead in his home. And that's why, whether you rise to leadership in your career or ministry or not, the fact that you are a man, leadership will be demanded of you at some point in your life. Now, whether you become a pastor, whether you rise to anything, just because you are a man, just because you are of the male gender, there will come a time in your life when it will be demanded of you that you become a proper leader, that you lead. If no other place, in your family, when you get married, you're supposed to lead your wife, you're supposed to lead your children. And I can tell you, apart from family, there will be many opportunities for a man to lead. That's why a man must learn how to be a proper leader. Are you following me? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, how that the head of the woman is the man. Emphasizing the last point I made, the fact that in the family, a man will be expected to be the head, a man will be expected to be the leader. Amen. So, leadership is learned. Leadership is learned. Even if you think, because I have people say some people are born leaders, even if you think you are a born leader, you must also learn how to be a proper leader. Let me say this to you. Let me talk about the home. One major reason why many homes break up is because the men in the homes are not leaders. And it's not just about the home. Any organization without a leader will not do well. Any organization. So think of a home where there is no leader or where there is a weak leader. Where there is a weak leader. You've heard this quote and it's actually true. An army of lions led by a sheep will be defeated by an army of sheep led by a lion. You get the point? When there are 100 sheep, 100 lions, and the sheep is led by the sheep that is led by a lion, and the lions are led by sheep, the one the lion is leading will defeat the one that the sheep is leading. Even though in his team he has sheep, he will win. Because he is the leader. He carries the mentality. If he doesn't know what to do, he will go after the leader of the other people, which is the sheep, and kill the sheep. Once you kill the leader, the battle is over. Are you following what I'm talking about? Are you following me, friends? And that's why leadership is important. Everything rises and falls on leadership. A company, some of us are going to be CEOs tomorrow. Some of us are already CEOs running businesses. A company will do well and is dependent on the life, on the life of the leader. A church does well because of the leader. That's why a church that has a weak pastor cannot do well. It cannot do well. And we'll begin to discuss on this. You'll find out why. A church that has a weak pastor cannot do well. So leadership must be learned. In your secular place, you're going to lead. Some of you are leaders in church. Some of you become leaders one day in church. Some of you are not even leaders. But then you are an elder brother. That's a leadership role. Are you aware? Just be an elder brother. You have young ones to lead. You have young ones to direct.
You must learn to lead. Because the thing about leadership that I'm going to say, leadership doesn't really have to come with titles. It's not about position. You can lead without titles. For instance, being another brother, nobody will call you officially the leader of the home. But they're supposed to lead your home. Lead the people under you. So a man must be taught to lead. Are you ready this evening? A man must be taught to lead. I'll open this matter up today. Then tomorrow I'm going to continue and see if I can tidy it up. So you must learn how to be a proper leader. And if I'm going to define leadership in one sentence, like I've always done, John Maxwell defined it that way, leadership is influence. And that's a very simple definition. Leadership is influence. What that means is that leadership means that, how do I put this now? Leadership is the ability to make people, make someone or make people do what you want them to do without forcing them. Because by the time you begin to force them, you're no longer a leader. You're now a manipulator or a bully or a predator or whatever you say. So leadership is the ability to influence people, to get them to do what you want them to do. And you're not forcing them, you're not manipulating them, but somehow you've been able to influence them and they are doing what you want them to do. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about something under this teaching. I'm going to address tomorrow what makes you followable, what will make people want to follow you. And I'm going to talk to you both by experience and everything. There is no place I've entered in life that people do not want to follow me. Any place. Any place. I've been in a group, a fellowship, where I was nothing. Like I wasn't even a leader. My seat was always at the back. But then those days, you know, a lot of young people began to gravitate towards me, asking me to mentor them. Bear in mind, I've never preached in that fellowship. Never. There's something you can do. There's something that makes you follow him. We'll look at that tomorrow. Are you here? Leadership is influence. Being able to get people to do what you want them to do. And you're not forcing them. You're not manipulating them. You are not using force on them. And that's what I have to learn. Some of us, some parents, some fathers in their homes, before they get their children to do anything, heaven must come down. They must break their neck. That's not proper leadership. Leadership is influencing people. Are you following me? And it's not position, like I always say. Sometimes I can come into a group and there is someone that is a leader and I can tell you who is actually leading that group. I get the point. I can tell you who is leading that group. Many Nigerian politicians are not leaders. But they have the position. Because they are not influencing nobody. We are only doing what they say, because if we don't do it, police will shoot. You get the point? I'm looking for a Nigerian politician that will become a governor or something that can come out and without manipulation address the youths, and the youths will respond to him because he is our leader. We are used to see that type. We are used to see that type. Are you following the point? This is not about position. It's not a position. So a leader must be influential. Leadership is influence. Being able to influence people to go in a certain direction or to do something you want them to do. Amen. So, and I'm going to say this to help you. Some of you, it will come in handy later when you have a family. Or some of you in different places, you find out how to develop yourself as a leader that you must be. The first step in, are you here? In first step in learning to lead is that you must be your own leader. Let's start with that. If you attend any leadership school, the first thing they will tell you to do is to lead yourself. If you are able to be your own leader, to lead yourself, then you can lead others. What does it mean to lead yourself? You must come to a point where you have, for instance, let me give an example. If we are in expression, maybe in the choir, and there is a leader, what does the leader do? What's our job? Tell you guys, we are coming by 4. We are leaving by 6. Don't be late. Ensuring that you guys do certain things, following law and order. A person that is a leader must be able to lead his own self. To be able to have control over his own life, insisting on his values. That's somebody pushing from outside. If you've not come to a point where you don't need an outside leader to make you to believe by your values, you are not yet ready for leadership. You want to lead your own self. Let me give you an example. I always say this all the time. There are some of you, how many of you, you run your own business? Anybody? You run your own business? Your own business, company, anything, raise your hand. Okay, a number of you. How many of you have ever worked for someone before you began to run your own business? Very well. When you work for someone, you're under a leader. That leader says, you must be at work by 8 a.m. Right? And when you get there, you have to sign. That leader says, you don't go on break till 2. And when you go on break by 2, you return by 2:30 or 2:15. And then you don't leave his office till 5. That leader says, you must show up every day. And many of us do that. But when we now begin to run our own businesses, we can now show up at work by 10 a.m. There are days we wake up, we just don't want to do anything because I'm not in a good mood. You know what is happening? You're not able to lead yourself. You are behaving well when another person is leading you. When it's now time for you to make things work, you can no longer lead yourself to do what you need to do. I get to the point. I mean, you must be someone, let me simplify it, that can do what is right without being pushed to do what is right. What that means is that you've been able to lead. You don't need someone to tell you you must go right or go left. Now, that doesn't mean, I'm coming to that, that doesn't mean you reject leadership. I'm saying you should be able to lead yourself. Lead yourself as a man. Have your values and stand by them. Insist, I'm going to wake up every day by 5 a.m. Do you know, if we say every man in this church must be here by 5 p.m. or pray every day by 5 p.m. and we put leaders to monitor you to make sure you pray. And we say, once you pray, report that you've prayed. Many of you will pray. But when you make that choice in your own life, you wouldn't pray. You know what? At that point, you've not learned to lead your own self. You need an outside leader to be able to force you. You can start like that, needing someone from outside to force you to do things. But you should get to a point where you are able to know what you have to do and live by those principles, leading yourself. Telling myself, I have to be in church today by 5. I don't need no call. I don't need to report to anybody. I have to be there. Do you get what I'm talking about? And that's leading yourself. For instance, in the area of morality, you have to lead yourself. You shouldn't need someone to be able to tell you you cannot be sleeping around. Come to a point in your life. How do you say it in Igbo? Igbo won't give meeting. Are you what I'm saying? Invite yourself for a conference call. Sit down on the table and say, yeah, it's time. That's leadership. It means nobody is there decided. You are the board. Call for a board meeting. Sit down. Is it not even time I stop this rubbish I'm doing? That's, you should come to the point where, you know what's happening? You are leading yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not time I stop this smoking thing. I don't grow past this one. No. That's leading yourself. Joseph got to the house of Potiphar and refused to sleep in. You know the problem? The father wasn't there. Nobody, because he was almost a last born. Everybody must have been telling him what to do. At that time, there was nobody he was reporting to. It was now him deciding by himself that he would not do it. That's leadership. Another example that blessed me still I was talking was Daniel. Daniel, the problem was Daniel actually, they were all trained. You know who Daniel was? Daniel was he grew up in the palace in Israel. Actually, he was from the royal family. So how do you know that? If you read Daniel chapter 1, the king asked them to pick people from the royal family. So he was a big man from the royal family who must have been taught how to live, how to fear the Lord. Now, take note, it's not only Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were picked, right? Many other people were picked. All those people that were picked were also from the royal family. But it was only four of them that said, we're not going to do what you guys want. The other people did. The other people were not ready. They were not leaders. They couldn't lead themselves. When they were in Israel, for instance, were they eating food offered to idols? No. When they were in Israel, for instance, were they doing all those? Were they misbehaving? For instance, you know, the issue with Daniel, I wish I have time. The issue with Daniel's story. Why do you think they refused to eat that food? One, it was offered to idols, but that wasn't the only reason. There were many meats that Israel does not eat. Four-footed animals, they don't eat it at all. Are you aware? They don't. Like dog, pig, they don't eat it. And the people in Babylon, they eat those things. That's why Daniel said, I cannot eat. It's against my consecration. I cannot break it. I get the point. Do you know every other person that came with them from Israel started eating those things? Every other person started eating. Every other person. You know why? Their priest that used to preach in the temple was no longer there. They were now in Babylon. Their team lead that was monitoring them was no longer there. They've not learned to be their own leader. Life should start off by somebody telling you what to do. Then you get to a point where you begin to tell yourself, you know, I was telling my ministers in the office on Sunday. I said to them, I am not actually happy as a leader when I've led you for 5-6 years and every day I come from it and I'm shouting at you. I don't like it. I want to lead you to a point where when we meet, we are not taking time shouting at each other. We are strategizing on how to make progress. Because you've learned how to lead your own self. You've learned how to tell yourself, I have to be here by 4. I get to the point. You need no discipline. You've learned how to tell yourself, I have to do what is right. That means you've been able to lead yourself in the area of morality. That in that area, I don't have to be monitoring you like that. So every leader must learn to lead himself in the area of morality. When there is nobody, when there is no father, when there is no pastor, tell yourself, see, at this point I've decided that I'm going to not involve in things like this. I report to nobody, I answer to nobody on this, right? But I've made up my mind. Even if I do it, I can lie to pastor, but I've decided. Are you getting the point? Until you get to that point. Because if you can't lead yourself, you can't lead others. Because if you're not able to lead yourself, what is happening is that you'll be placing demands on others. Demands that you're not even living up to. You get the point? So for instance, in the area of morality. Another example related to morality, for instance, is in the area, in the matters of self-discipline. You have to discipline yourself. Tell yourself, see, this is, we're going to be waking up by 2 a.m. every day to pray. I know nobody's going to beat me if I don't do it. And one of the things that really helped me in ministry, and thank God I did that early. I used to talk about when I was JCP president in school. The past, and I have nothing against some of them, some of the past people that worked at JCP president in my set didn't do so well. And let me tell you why. They are serious Christians, so good people. Good people. And if you look at their track record, when they served in their different fellowships, they did so well. If they did well, that's why they were commended to JCP. Because JCP is the body that organizes all the fellowships on campus. You get the point? So, they did well. But now here, some of them, we bring them to JCP, they begin to do poorly. The reason at the time was because the JCP in my school then did not have any structure. There was no alumni structure. So when they make you president, nobody money, don't report to anybody. I get the point. Nobody monitors you. In fact, you can come into office and refuse to call any meeting for the hotel. Nobody has the right. You are the highest at the time. Do you get the point? So you find out many people, there are some tenures that had only one program in school today handed over. Only one. And that program was the handover program. Yes, actually. And I'm not exaggerating. Because nobody is there to. But you see how they worked in their fellowship because there were people telling them, move right, move right, move right. When I came to power, God said to me, you know, nobody's going to call you to order. Nobody's going to shout at you. I come from a very strict fellowship. I attended a very strict fellowship in school. So we don't. When you come a leader in my fellowship in school, they monitor you. You must do right, and thank God for that kind of system. When I go to JCB, it dawned on me that nobody was going to call me to order. Nobody was going to tell me anything to do. I have to decide by myself. Are you getting the point? That's personal leadership, leading yourself. I do that, I'm a pastor. Lead pastor. That's what is helping me today. If I don't show up here, you cannot beat me. Are you aware? I'm just saying. You just know, pastor did not come. Yeah, you can make excuses. If I don't show up, you will not beat me. If I decide I will not go to do Sunday, if I don't want to come, I'm not going to come. You're not going to beat me. I will just delegate that somebody else should preach. And I start up. The way the church will fail. The church will so fail because it means I've not been able to. So are there days I wake up from my bed and I'm tired to come out? Yes. Are there days that I'm just so weak? Yes. Why do I come? Will anybody beat me? No. I've learned to tell my body to do what I want it to do. And I had Archbishop Osa tell this story many years ago. I had ministered in so many meetings. So many meetings. I was now so tired. He said he woke up the next morning. He had to be in church. Because he had the routine. He lived inside you know, the church compound. If he's in Benin, every day, 5 a.m., he must be in the chapel. No matter what, whether he had all night, 5 a.m. he must be there. He said he woke up that morning. His leg was so... He said he couldn't even lift his leg. He was so tired. I remember this archbishop, almost the number one in the world at the time. Who will correct him? Who will beat him if he doesn't go that day? Can't he just rest? He said, while he was trying to lift his leg, he couldn't. He said, I just remembered that I am a spirit and not a body. So I just told myself, I just said to my leg, leg, I'm going to church. Meet me in church. He got up. Same thing the leg heard that, the leg responded. I'm going to meet me in church. Somebody else would have said, is even, and Soka would say, oh, Kalen, you've really been through a lot. Just rest for today. Tomorrow you will go. That's the problem. Self-discipline. You get the point? Where you report to yourself, and you obey the law, you live by your principles, not because anybody will beat you, because you're your own leader. Because some of us, those things we would have done if we are answering to people, we no longer do. And that's the problem. For instance, another area I want to talk about, before I get to that area, give me Titus 2 verse 6. Because I want to talk about business, but I'm coming to that shortly. So, personal leadership. It's a young man, talking to young men now, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. You know what that means? Give me Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic said, in a similar way, urge the younger men to be self-restrained. Like, I like that word. Self, where you are, nobody's restraining you. Nobody's putting, as in, rope around your neck. Self-restraint. You make up your mind, I'm not going to do this. And I will not do it. Nobody's going to beat me if I do it, but I will not do it. Self-restraint. And to behave prudently, taking life seriously. Taking life seriously. Be self-led. Now, that doesn't mean you don't need a leader. Are you getting the point? Let your leader start you off. Get to a point where you become self-led. You can start by inviting you to church. Make sure you come to church. Come now. I come by two. Please come. We'll buy you buns if you come. When is you get to a point in your life where you no longer need buns? Do you understand? Where it's now you making up your mind. Where you know that if you don't come, nobody's going to beat you, but you still do it. That's why when many pastors do not get to this point, and they become pastors, they fail at pastoring. Because at level of pastoring, not many people talk to you. You can dress how you want to dress. You can talk how you want to talk. You can come. Are you getting the point? You can come when you want to come. There are weeks that, you know, some weeks I show up in the office. I just show up because I have to show up. Now, if I don't show up and I tell you my story that week, you will understand why. One of the days this week, I left the house in the morning, run up and down, did everything. You know, we even were at the hospital. We had a lot of family emergencies at the time this week. But God is faithful. Amen. Now, in the midst of all of that, I still finished, dropped my family at home, drove to the office. Who would have, if I could have just called and say, you know, and you say, I understand. But be self-restrained. I get to the point. What I always ask myself is, if I was a banker working for someone, can I give him that excuse? If I can't give that excuse, I can't give it to myself. I get what I'm talking about. If I was that, you woke up and say, I couldn't come because rain was falling. If you are working on that someone, will you say the same thing? If you can't, so why will you do it your own business? That's why another area that you have to master self-discipline is the area of pursuing your goals. Lead yourself in the area of your goals. If you are a person working under someone, and the person says you will report to work by 2 a.m., will you wake up by 2 a.m. and will you try the person and say, sir, I'm sorry, I overslept? Sometimes you do it two times, you've lost your job. Oh. Just be going. You are your leader. Lead yourself. If we push you small, start pushing yourself. That's how it works. That's how we want to do it. We push you small, just like we want to start Lista, not this Lista. All those older, you know what I'm saying? Where you turn, okay, you don't know. Have you ever gone to Grand Gary? When they turn, done. That's how it is. Let us start you off. We turn you to a point and leave you. You should be able to leave you and you start running by yourself. In other words, you're now telling yourself, nobody has to remind me to be in church today. Nobody has to remind me to go to evangelism today. You lead yourself. Call yourself to order. Also in your business. That's the problem many of us. You're running a business and you're taking it seriously. And some of you are so diligent when it is another person's job. So diligent. So diligent. And sometimes you're teaching in a school and I pay you 25,000. And yet you show up there every morning. You show up there every day. And now you're doing your own job. And you wake up. I said the rain was too much. The cold was too much. You know, we just did Zoe. And after Zoe, I was tired. I said, let me rest. Who sent you to rest? If you are working for somebody, will you rest after Zoe? Can you tell your boss at work, you know, we had man up. You know, and after man up, so you should have come for the program. It was stressful. When you are done talking, just... he will say, the HR has something for you. Just gonna say hi to her. As I get in there, they've packed your bag. Now, you can't give that description, but if it's your personal thing, because you lack self-leadership. You lack self-leadership. Be inwardly motivated. Be driven by something on your inside. Let me tell you, before I leave this matter, this is one of the major ways to be a man of impact on it. You see, I was angry at a point, but at the time I said, well, thank God. Because when I got saved, I had one lady who mentored me. But we were not very close because she didn't stay close to my house. She stayed far. I used to go to see her during weekends. It got to a time, everybody around me, there was nobody that actually was willing to commit to my life personally. That's the truth. I submitted to my spiritual father in 2019. And I started ministry in 2006. That's how many years? 15 years. Is it 15? I mean, 2006 to 2019. Maybe 13 years. 13 years, right? Of doing things without any direct supervision. At the time, I was like, but God said, thinking about it now, it is one of the major blessings that I have. You get the point? Because I did this, nobody supervised nothing. I prayed. When you hear me say, I finished God's general under 3 days. Nobody gave me the assignment. I picked it myself and read it myself. I get to the point. When you hear me say, I fasted for 1 year. Nobody asked me to fast for 1 year. You must come to that point where you are self-inwardly motivated. I get to the point. Yeah, today I tell people to do those things. Today I'm under my pastor and I talk and I'm under him. He tells me to do things. But even till now, I don't have any instructions from him. Do you get the point? Now, come to a point, of course, where you get instructions, live by them. But don't always wait for an instruction. Let there be something on your inside that wants to be something. And let that thing drive you. You are leading. Nobody asked me to. Nobody has ever. When I came, I fasted for 1 year. Nobody. I told you guys, okay, it was not here I was talking about it. There was a time I was going for missions every August. Every 1 month into August. Like this, normally by this time, those days, I'll be on mission. The whole of August. Right? Now, after my first mission work, I decided that every June and July of every month, of every year, I will be on a 2 month fast to prepare me for that mission in August. And everybody that started working with me, people like all my people that wonder me, I made sure they began to observe that. Do you know, nobody gave me that instruction. I get to the point. It was me that made up my mind. Now, come to that point where you lead, so that when we are now talking to you on the outside, the instructions you are giving you will now be agreeing with the choices you've made on your inside. That way, we don't have to drag you or pull you. I get the point. You know, one of the worst people to lead, most difficult people to lead, are people who are not inwardly motivated. You're just dragging them all over the place. Come now, please take it seriously. Let me tell you, when I joined fellowship in school, I was an easy person to lead because first I came into the fellowship. I told them, I said, I want to be part of this fellowship. Do you have foundation school? I want to start my foundation school today. How can I join the department? From day one. From day one. So, if you are a leader, you would like to lead that kind of person. So, they already want to do something. That be that kind of person. Inwardly motivated. So, first step in learning to lead is that you must be your own leader. Be your own leader. Be your own leader. Second step in learning to lead is be a good follower. Be a good follower. Be mentored. It is good followers that make good leaders. And that's not just quotable quotes. That is simple truth. Good followers make good leaders. The reason is very simple. Something has to be done to you so that you can know how to do it to another person. I'll give an example. If there are pastors here now that some of my pastors say, if people want to get married now, I can simply tell some of my pastors that are married, I say, handle their marriage class. How am I sure they will get it right? I've handled their own marriage class. I get the point. It's been done to them. That's why they can do it to others. If you've never been led and you've not followed well, you know how to lead others. You make a lot of mistakes. So it is good followers that make good leaders. There is this irony. People think that, you see people that are very arrogant. They don't submit to anybody. They don't take orders from anybody. And somehow they want to start their own thing. They will struggle. They will struggle because rebels produce rebels. Let me tell you how rebels produce rebels. You know, the Igbos have a slogan. Have a proverb, rather. No gumma. Someone that kills by the sword will not let you bring a sword around them. So when someone is a rebel, very arrogant, you can't tell him what to do. When he eventually becomes a leader, he will watch out for his type of person and make sure to avoid this kind of... You get the point? That rebellion he was showing to the other leader, he will not want to show it to him. So the nonsense people took from him, we cannot take from others. So he becomes very tough, very strict, to avoid his type from developing his organization. Eventually, there will be breakaways. There will be breakups. Rebels produce rebels. That's why one of the major ways to be a good leader is to follow. People that are my pastors, my ministers, once you come around, once you start working under me, and I ask you, you ask me, sir, what do I do? I have many questions. I'll just tell you, just follow me. If you have questions, ask me. That's all. Just follow me. If you have questions, ask me. In following, you will become a proper leader. Some of the best leaders you have in the Bible, right? We are good followers. Good followers. That's why I say it many times, if you are not ready to submit yourself to mentorship, you cannot actually be a proper leader. You have to be mentored to be able to mentor others. And that's why, you know, one of the undoing of our generation is that many men don't know how to be fathers. You know, we were talking about fatherhood last year, right? You remember last year? I was talking about preparing for fatherhood. Many men don't know how to be fathers. Do you know why? They've never been fathered. Never. And it's bad because some of us grew up in homes where our biological father was absent. You get the point? When they were never there for us. Guess what we will become to our children? Much as we hate that thing they did to us, we will do the same to our children. Because you've not been fathered. That's what I'm going to say to you. If you came from a family where your father, you lost your father early, or he was around, but you know, send donor. Right? One of the things you have to do is when you get into a church, submit to the spiritual fatherhood in that place. So that you learn how to be properly fathered. If not, when you have children, you will do the same thing. If somebody said to me, my mom used to complain that her father did this thing to her, this and that. But he said to me, the funny thing is that same thing she's doing to us. But she didn't realize it. The day she called her mom to order and said, mommy, don't you see that this same thing you're complaining is what you're doing to us? We also complained. The woman was crying. You get what I'm saying? Because if it's what you are giving that you will give. That's why how to be a proper leader is to be properly led. Be properly led. One of the major reasons why the Lord led me to leave the church family where I was born into before I even became a pastor here was because the Lord said, I want you to go somewhere where you'll be pastored. So I had to go somewhere. Because most of the things I'm doing in this place, I learned it from places the Lord sent me to. When I was in school, I sat under a school fellowship where I was following. I served as a leader there. Under leaders, actually. It was tough. It was a very tough system. But all those systems helped. Because if you've never been led, you don't know how to lead. If I let me tell you something, if you've never been led, you will not know the pain of following. You know, following is not easy. Following is hard. But if you've never followed, you will not know how it pains. You know, if you follow someone now, maybe you are coming to church, You're coming late. You're running so that you get here early. And along the line, you sleep and you fall and dirty your clothes. And you're wearing white and white. And you had to run home to go and iron another clothes to put it on so that you can come. Finally, you come late. And you tell your leader, the person says, I don't want to hear, and disciplines you. Is it not painful? When you've gone through that, when you become a leader yourself, when people begin to give you their excuses, you can listen. Because you know the pain of following. I get what I'm talking about. So you've got to come to a point where you allow yourself to be led. Because if you don't let yourself to be led, you cannot lead others. So check all the great guys in the Bible. Check Joshua. Joshua was led by Moses, mentored by Moses. And because he was mentored by Moses, it was easy for him to become a leader. You know, when I taught you on Joshua, that was 2 years ago, I taught on Joshua, the portrait of good, portrait of good followership or something. Yes, portrait of followership. That was at LMP. I said something. Joshua have been in Moses' life. You know, Joshua began to follow Moses as a teenager. In fact, when it was time to hand over, went to the leadership to the next person, it was clear to everybody that it was going to be Joshua. It was clear. Because all those times you see that Moses went to the mountain for 40 days, Joshua was there as a small boy. He followed him to the mountain, doing what? Just observing. Did he contribute in the meeting? No. Did he talk to the Lord? No. He was just sitting down there. Every encounter Moses had with God from that they entered the wilderness, Joshua was with him. When they went up to the mountain for 40 days, Joshua was there. In fact, when they went up to the mountain and Aaron went to make a golden calf, Joshua was there with him. When he returned, Joshua stayed on the mountain, but saw what happened. When he broke that, whatever, Joshua saw it. When he went back to the mountain to talk to the Lord again, Joshua saw it. He was with him all through. So it was not hard. By the time they went to survey the land, it was not hard that Joshua was going to speak like Moses, because he had caught the spirit of the man by following him. And that's why one of the best things you can do for yourself when you're in a church family like this is to allow yourself to be mentored. There are guys that like to sneak into church and sneak out of church, and that's the problem. So you are not following, you're not actually properly following. Whether you follow well or not, tomorrow you're going to lead. You're going to lead your home. You're going to lead your wife and lead your children. If you've never been led, you cannot lead in your home. And that's why homes have issues. I said this when I was starting. Many homes are struggling and breaking up and having issues because there is no leader there. There is a man there, but there is no leader there. I get what I'm saying now. There's a man there, because tomorrow I'll talk to you about how to be followed up. How to bring yourself to a point where people can follow you. There are homes that are no leaders. Partly because the man who is supposed to be the leader has never been led himself. He doesn't know what to do. If someone comes up to him and say, Dad, I have a problem. Maybe a young boy comes and says, I have a problem. Maybe a boy in JS2 is saying, I'm in love with this girl in JS1. JS2, JS1. He doesn't know what to tell him. Because nobody ever told him anything in his own time. I get what I'm saying. So he might just begin to beat the child. Small boy like, yeah, I sent you to school to go and go to school. I have fallen in love. Child will say sorry. But just know that he will never tell you again. I feel what I'm saying. Because nobody ever told him what to do. And that's why there is need that as you are growing as a young man, you allow yourself to be led. You come into a church, they say you belong to a generation or a department, allow yourself to be there. Follow the instructions. So that is, you are learning how to lead when your own time comes. I get what I'm saying? You're learning how to lead. Let's all of us are going to show up by 2. Show up. All of us are going to pray by 5 p.m. Show up. They give correction. You guys, I'm done discipline you guys. Follow the instructions. So. Because you're also learning. Like I said, if you've never been raised, if you've never been followed, rather, you will not know the pain of followership. Yes. You don't know the pain of followership. For instance, I used to tell people here, perfect example, when people want to enter relationships here, and I ask them to pray for 3 months. You know, I've been talking about that all the while. When God showed me that people have to pray before they enter relationship. So I used to preach about it. You must pray for 3 months. I don't know that. But When I now wanted to get married, I said to grandma that as a single. When I wanted to get married, I told my pastor. He said, you are going to pray for 3 months. I've been preaching it. For the first time, I know what it meant.
I get what I'm saying now. To really want to go for something, you are sure of what you want, but they say you should stay for 3 months and pray.
For the first time, I say, okay. And after praying for 3 months, I chatted him up, Daddy, I'm done. He didn't reply me. So I kept praying for another 2 months. The one that, yes, I prayed for that Lord. The one that almost wanted to make me get angry. Because I cannot be angry. It's when I now finished and I asked my woman out. I said, babe, I want to be my girlfriend. And she said, okay, I need time to pray about it. And I told her, yes, please pray about it. You can even take 1 month. That's what I said. You can even take 1 month. And then my spiritual mom got involved and said, no, she's going to pray for 3 months. Ah!
I said, okay.
You will never know. You know, if you've never done this,
You can be advising other people.
I said, you pray for 3 months. It's when you now have to wait for 3 months, you will know the pain. So that when people are complaining, you know what you know what they feel. If you've never been led, you will not know the pain of followership. So you will not even appreciate your followers when they do well. And that will make you a bad leader. Are you following me? And that will take me to the next thing you need to be a good leader. Be humble. And being humble for me is summarized. In fact, the hallmark of humility as a leader is that you are teachable. Teachability is the hallmark of humility as a leader. The fact that you can learn. But before I proceed, I want to say this. When I mean be humble, there is something humility is not.
Are you here?
Humility, because I have to clarify this, is not timidity. You know, people think that when you are humble is when you are just so calm, when you can't talk to people. Say good evening, Sam. That's not humility, you are timid. Right? God did not give us a spirit of fear. Right? God doesn't want us to be timid. So when I mean be humble, I'm not saying be calm. Be dull and just calm. You can't talk to anybody. When they shout at you, you say, it's okay. That's not humility.
Are you following me?
It's not timidity. Humility is not weakness. It doesn't mean to be weak. Because if you are weak, you're a bad leader. Bad leaders, leaders are not weak. Nobody likes a weak leader.
Do you get the point?
When you enter relationships, or when you ask many girls, what do you want in a man? Say, I want a man that can defend me. They're not talking about fight, but at least someone that is strong, that can talk, that can speak up. Say, don't talk to my wife like that. Don't talk to my children like that. Don't try that with my kids. That's the bold man. That doesn't mean you're not humble. So the fact that you are weak doesn't mean you are humble. Are you following the point? The fact that they can match on your head and you say, it's fine. It doesn't mean you're humble. It doesn't mean you're humble. When I talk about humility, I'm not talking about being unsure of yourself, not being self-confident. That's not humility. Humility, actually, it means that you are open to learn. That's what I mean by humility. You're open to learn and you are willing to take correction when you are corrected. That's humility. That's the kind of humility that makes a leader. I'm open to learn. When you correct me, I will take it. I'm open to learn. So a leader must be humble. Open to learn. There are many people that, you know, don't do well as leaders because they are not open to learn new things. There are leaders that are stuck, even in big companies today, that are stuck in 1980 because they don't want to learn new things happening in 2025. So that's a proud leader. He says, see, today we started this thing. Something we've been doing since. I'm telling you, there are new ways now. A leader must stay humble. And that humility will be seen in how he's open to, you know, adopt new things and learn. Amen. I said, amen. You know, perfect example is, I'm a pastor, right? I know a few things. I know one or two things. I'm not a practicing medical doctor or a practicing pharmacist or anything like that. Do you understand? But I have people under me who are all those things. Now, if I have health challenges and I cannot find my way around it, I call some of my sons and my daughters who are in the medical field and ask them, what should I do about this? Are you getting the point? In one of those days, it was Pastor Maka that came to my hotel room to do something. You know, when a meeting was going on, so they came to keep food. So she has already seen me in the program, and she already perceived, pastor is not. So she just, when they came to drop food, she dropped a note in the hotel room and dropped some medication. Daddy, please, I know you're a man of faith, but please, you have to take this out of that. And it's not for you to start saying, who are you? You tell me what to do. The anointed bulldozer. They are telling the anointed bulldozer what to do. You will die, they'll bury you. They'll bury you straight up. Do you get the point? There's nothing there. You know, you should be humble. Learn from others. Learn from others. You get the point? Learn from others. And I mentioned Pastor Maka now. Because when I mean learn from others, I'm not just talking about learning from, if I let me even tell you plainly. The health session, we're going to have a health session tomorrow. Amen. And it will be handled by a lady. Say amen. The men's health session will be handled by a lady professional. And you have to be humble to learn. Do you understand? But you know, callings are not gender sensitive. The Bible did not say that when it's a woman's meeting, only women should preach there. That is not true. Or when it's a men's meeting, only men should preach there. Nobody is specially called to preach to women. Do you know? Nobody is specially called to preach to Ben. So I'm just telling you. So tomorrow we're going to have a session and a female health professional will be here to talk to us. But that's by the way. But then you open yourself to learn. So I ask those, you know, I can ask, how does this happen and all that? Let me even say this to you. Learn. Be open to learning. There are some things I can tell. That's why I talk about mentorship. There are some things I can tell you. There are families that are struggling and all they lack is one simple information that you can give them and their lives will change. Their lives will change. I mean, simple information. But they're not open. And it's because people are not open to learning. That's why when you get married, you tell your wife, I'm the man of the house. I'm the leader of the house. You can't suggest anything. You're not. It's what I said that will happen. That's not leadership. A leader must be humble. That humility is that you're open. Okay, say your own mind. Even though as a leader, you are the one that will finally make the last decision, right? But what do you think? How do you think? And when they make good choices, you follow it. It is actually... It's actually, what am I going to use? Inferiority complex. That makes people want to have their own opinion followed at all times. Because they're feeling inferior. So they feel that if they listen to another person's opinion, it will look like they're no longer powerful. So they will say, you must do my own. That's inferiority. Are you following me, friends? Are you still here? That's inferiority. And so you must come to a point where you stay humble, open to leadership, open to learn, okay? Okay, I didn't get that right. Sorry. You know, this sorry thing is something that many of us as growing young men have to really learn to say. When last did you say sorry to someone? I mean even to your employee or to someone under you. Just say, I'm sorry. I didn't get that right. And he says, sir, do you say that? Well, if you ask, do I say that? It's because you've not worked with me very closely. Oh, it's not a hard thing for me to do. Oh, sorry, I missed that point. I should have done that right. It doesn't remove anything from me. It's not even a big deal. How some of you cannot say sorry to your children? You can't say sorry to your wife. On that relationship you are dealing with someone, where you go wrong, you have to run around to prove to the person that even though you are wrong, small, but that she's also wrong. Okay, when you are wrong, say sorry. You don't have to prove anything. Some of you know what I'm saying, right? You coin it, because even though I shall admit, but you are just running away from say. So say sorry. Just be humble. Are you following me? Are you still here? So that it makes you, you know, better. Of course, the next that will make you a better leader is to be an example. How do you learn to lead? You learn to lead by being an example. Being an example. Be someone that people can look up to. That's why I told you, you don't need a position to lead. For instance, in your home, how to start leading in your home is to be an example of everything you want your children to do. You've started leading. You don't need to say a word. Just be an example. You want them to be able to pray. Wake up every morning and pray. Let them hear you pray. Be an example. It's one of the easiest ways to begin to learn leadership. That's why I did a teaching many years ago. I call this leading from behind. What I was teaching in that is that you can actually lead without being in the front, but you are leading from where you are. You are not trying to overthrow the leader, but you are just leading. How do you do that? Be an example. Let me say this to you. And I was talking to a young man, you know, one of my people, and that was many years ago. I've shared this story many times, and he came to me. He was complaining because he belonged to this team. They were leaders, but in that team there were mostly ladies, and their leader there was a lady, and he had this his man pride thing setting. So they were shouting at them, correcting them. So he was feeling, why would they talk to me like that? I told him, well, to start with, that one, you are wrong. Male or female should be able to correct you. I get the point. Because you are male doesn't mean, if like when you start working in a company and your direct boss is a woman, say you young girl, go and sit down there. You lose your job. And so that one is not about male or female. I said, but if you want to be respected, you want to be able to be respected in that place, I'll give you a very simple instruction. Be exemplary. If you are exemplary, it is easy to be a leader without saying a word. I say what I mean is this. If you're in this team and they say we must show up by 4 p.m., be there by 3:50. If they say all of us are going to sing 5 times, sing 7 times. Be the example. Once you become exemplary, other people want to listen to you. And that's what Paul told Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, you just see like 3 scriptures. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul began to teach. Remember, he was a pastor. He said, let no man despise thy youth. Many people read this verse and they say, please make sure nobody despises you. He says, you cannot despise me. But what they failed to see is that Paul told him how to make sure that happens. How do you do that? Be thou an example. It's when you are an example that you will not be despised. Be the standout person. When it's time to pray, be the one praying very well. When it's time to study about, be the one studying very well. When it's time to praise, let's praise very well. When it's time to joke, you joke. When they say all of us are going to dress in this way, dress in that way times two. When you are exemplary, you can be followed. And let me tell you, it's one of the easiest ways to lead children. Because children learn by observation. But I can also tell you, many people learn by observation. What sometimes gives you the moral ground to advise someone is because the person has looked at your life and seen that you are living what you're advising. I get what I'm saying now. If you are the one that, you know, you don't always come to church, you're always missing services, you possibly cannot see a younger person in church and tell the person, I need to use it, why didn't you come? It's only respect. This Gen Z now, they don't fear anybody. They will tell you, me self that you came last week. Did I see you? Well, these Gen Zs are blessed. You know, one thing that has marked this, these guys are bold. And they can say anything to anybody. They can look at you and say, you're wearing these clothes again. And they say, no, these guys are very bold. It's not this clothes you wore last week, you're wearing it again. It actually happened though, actually. We went for school visitation somewhere. Not me, or some people in my team. When they went back there, the students were like, see that uncle that, and he's wearing the same shirt again that he wore. They were not saying it angrily or insulting. They were just talking. And the one of the ladies said, I know you. These same clothes you were wearing the last time I saw you. These guys are very bold. You know, in our own time, we might notice it, but just keep it to ourselves because they will break your head. But these people are very bold, though. They don't send you. Amen. But if you're exemplary, when you're a role model, I learned very early in my life, be a role model. How to be a role model is not to begin to, because somebody was going to ask me, you said you are part of a fellowship, you're not the leader, or people followed you. How did it happen? This is one thing I'm telling you. I was so exemplary in that fellowship. I was an SS3 boy. I was a secondary student. And the fellowship was on Tuesday evening. I will go from my school to the fellowship, wearing my school uniform, use my transport fare for offering, and trek home. I didn't miss a day. I'll come, obviously come from school, looking very hungry, but I'll pray, I'll follow. And people were, before I knew, from behind, people would just come and meet me. Sir, good evening, what's your brother? Good evening, what's your name? I like you. I want to ask you a few questions. Some of them certainly believe that I knew something in the Bible. Because how serious this young man is, he must obviously know Bible. I get the point. And that marked, let me even tell you, I say this all the time, when I was in school, university, It was one of the things that made... I didn't preach in my classroom. I preached in every classroom. But I didn't preach in my classroom till my second year, second semester. I didn't preach. But before that second semester, everybody around were calling me. They were really... Pastor. You know why? To start with, I was dressing like one. You know, I was a very serious dresser. You wouldn't see me. But then apart from that, you want to write the exam in class. I'm in front. And I'm in front so that I will not have to be tempted to ask anybody or to bring out my notes. Someone had observed me. The first person approached me was my second year. Say, sir, I've watched you write exam since you came into this school. You don't cheat. You don't talk to anybody. The thing is that I'm a believer. I really want to do it, but I cannot do it. That's how I got my first follower in class. I'm just telling you the truth. Tomorrow we're going to look at this. How to be follower. That's how I got my first follower in class. I said, okay. See, just teach me how you do these things. From there, we became reading mates. Then, if I sit here, she'll sit next. That happened. Another lady came. Same thing. I've observed you write exam and all of that. And I spoke to my friend. Her friend is the one I was now close to. And she said, you're also helping her. I said, another boy came. I've not preached to one person. But if I was an exemplary person, you are a role model, people just want to come around you. Some of them will not come, but from far, they're just watching you. I asked one boy, and I want to ask you guys, the life you're living now, this way is your man now, if your son begins to behave like you, will you be proud of your son? Like this way you used to drink, smoke. Let me assume your son turns out to be exactly like you. Will you boldly say, aha, that's my son in whom I'm well pleased? Be the man you want your children to become. Well, the problem of our generation is that we have fathers who are asking us to do what they never did. Demanding of us to live the life they never lived. I didn't know the women conference, because I asked a lady the same question. I said, when you are posting a naked picture on Facebook, if your daughter begins to do it, you know, like, he said she dare not try it. I said, well, let me tell you, newsflash, that lady is trying it as I'm talking to you. You see, that daughter she'll give birth to. Ah, she's trying it. Because to start with, I said, the first thing that you're even stupid, you're posting this on the internet. The internet does not forget. It will pop up one day. And tomorrow you're trying to correct them. Say, your mother is talking to you. You say, mommy. And you know, that time it's no longer be Gen Z. Where are we now? We've passed Gen Z. Gen. Uh-huh. Is it Gen Alpha? My son is not in any Gen. Because I'm not doing that. Because those ones, now they can even be talking to you if they say, mommy, forget that one. You know. I know your scores. Oh. I saw your picture. So, point is, be a role model. Be a role model. Be what you want others to be. Let me say this to you. Try what I'm going to show you. You're a young man here, and you want to begin to lead other young men. I'm just telling you a very simple secret. Just be exemplary. Do you know that? Look at this instruction. Be thou an example of the believers. Now, he didn't say be an example to unbelievers. Take note. Be an example to believers. So, he was saying, in the group of believers, stand out as an example. Because it's easy to be an example to unbelievers because, at least, they used to sin too much, used to sin small. But to be an example to believers means that among the saved, you stand out in word, in conversation, in charity, give me like NLT, in purity, in faith, give me NLT. Let's read together, everybody. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and your purity. Try what I'm going to show you. When you get among young guys like you, just begin to live your life differently from them. It will not be long. Forget even conduct. Start with reading. When others are playing and joking, be reading your books. Be serious. Once you have that kind of seriousness around you, people want to come around to ask you, I like you. They may not say it, but they'll just come close. How many of you have had young people, had people in your life that you admired from far for a long time, but you never told them? I mean, we just look at them and say, I like how that guy used to do. There are many people looking at you like that. be a model. So 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 tells us that. Titus 2 verse 7. Titus 2 verse 7. We read it already, but we'll stand it a little. He said, in all things, showing a good pattern of thyself, or showing thyself rather a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, next verse, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Go back to verse 7. Give me an NLT. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good work of every kind. Let everything you do, this pastor's taking seriously, let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Saying where you are not teaching, let your lifestyle show that you are serious. Verse 8. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Be exemplary. So Paul told that to Timothy. Paul said that to Titus. Peter said that to people that he was leading to. 1 Peter 5 verse 1. He said that, he said, them that are elders, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and all of that. In verse 2, he told them, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of feeding locker, but of a ready mind. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but by being examples to the flock. Examples to the flock. That's why when Paul was talking to Timothy, he told Timothy, thou hast really known my doctrine, my manner of life. You've known me. In other words, Paul is saying to Timothy, you followed me as an example. Now, and that's why many of you are here. Because you watch how pastor used to behave. You want to, and that's what it is. You want to be a leader, or as I learned to be a leader. Just be an example. Be an example. Let people say that your life is different. That's what makes you a proper leader. Amen. This is actually one of the major ways to earn respect. I'm telling you. When they say respect is earned, that's how to earn respect. So you are an elder brother. Instead of coming to your house and shouting, you people don't respect me in this house. You people don't respect me in this house. All of you in this house. You don't respect me. I will talk. You will not follow it. Just be an example. That's the way you can even conduct your life. Even if you're not the last born, you're not the first born, they want to respect you. They may not call you leader. But you find out that when you say things, your words will count. I get what I'm saying. Now, the problem is that many young men, and I want to say this very seriously, are not fighting to be examples. They are fighting to make money. Because when they make money, you know, once you have money in the family, your words will begin to count. But look at the point. It is not respect you are commanding when you have money. They are just following you because of that money in your hand. Just like when someone is the governor, we follow him because he's the governor. Let him hand over. All those people that used to gather in his house will stop coming. So many people are coming around because of the things you have. Be someone that people will follow. No, look at me, for instance. Today, you might look at me and say, ah, pastor has money. This guy, maybe you don't even know if I have money or not. It's your mind. But maybe because you said I have car. When people began to follow me, I didn't even have a house. Newsflash, they knew. They will come to my family house that time. My family house that time, it has so broken down that the toilet was not working. The bedroom was so broke. But people will come and fill up the house. Why were they following? Because people think you don't have money. I didn't have anything. And it didn't happen for 6 months, for a very long time. You get the point? There was a day I finished the meeting, I was so broke, my shoe had torn into pieces. Like my shoe, it has opened. No, it didn't open. It tore under. The sole off. It was some of the people here that saw it. Some of the people I was leading. That gathered themselves and said, ah, this one, pastor. They went and bought shoe and brought. They were so embarrassed on my behalf. None of them said, I'm not going to follow this man again. His shoe is torn. You know the reason? It's not money that follow him. I follow I'm talking about, friends. You must be an ex. Let there be something in you that people want to follow. What are they following? Man, that guy can teach Bible. That is it. Let there be something about you. I follow what I'm saying. That guy is anointed. Oh, he has power. That's what I follow him. I follow him.
Let there be. So it must be a role model. So you don't really have to get to the place and begin to shout, people should listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Can you please hear me out? People are not going to hear you out except you are an example. When you are an example, you can command their audience, can command their attention. When you stand out, that's why when I get to any new place, I don't fight to be seen, but you're going to see me. I just tell you the truth. I'm not going to do anything because I just know whatever is the rule that applies there, I'll live by it. And my own personality will speak for me because I carry a personality. Calm, quiet, but strong personality. Do you understand the point? I'm just trying to say, you must be an example. And last thing I'm going to say tonight, today, tomorrow we'll continue with this teaching, is learn how to make decisions. I'll say more about that tomorrow. Learn how to make decisions and make the right decisions. Every leader, because actual leadership is about making decisions. When you also have leadership, that's all it's about. Making decisions. Should we buy green or buy red? A leader should make decisions. Should we go left or go right? And the thing about decision, look at why I said you must learn to make decisions before you even become a leader. Because when, as a person, I say it all the time, when you make the wrong decisions for yourself, you will suffer the consequences alone. But when you become a leader and make the wrong decisions, not only you, the people that follow you will suffer too with you. Let me give an example. As a young man, you can decide to mistakenly invest all your money into MMM. And then your 10 million naira savings goes like that. Who will suffer it? You. You will just cry, drink gari. After that, you now encourage yourself and tell yourself, the downfall of a man is not the end of his life. Pick up yourself and continue. Do you understand what I'm saying? But imagine you are married and you have children. Is someone following me this evening? There's a time you get, when you become a leader, the choices you make will not now be affecting you alone. So imagine you are married, you have family, you now invest your 10 million, all these life savings into MMM, taking it to pay. And now it doesn't pay. It's not only by telling yourself the downfall of a man. As you're saying that, your children are crying by the room. Mom, daddy. Everybody just talking. Your wife is complaining. She's a good woman. She will not complain to what she just there. Say, baby will bounce back. Amen. You realize at that point, that's why a leader, if you want to become a good leader, begin to learn the principle of making the right decisions. But at the end of the day, that's what you'll be doing all your life as a leader. We'll put this child in this school and not that school. That's the decision. We'll live here and not there. For now, let's pause buying a car. Let's build a house. That's all you will do in your family, making decisions. Are you what I'm talking about? You run a company. That's what you guys should be doing. As a pastor here, what do I do as a pastor, as a leader here? I make decisions. That's basically what I do. This man up now used to be a meeting that gathers everybody from all centers. This year, we made a new decision. For now, all centers are holding the same man up now. They're joining us online currently. Seated in their church as we are seated here. But I said, let them not travel down. Let me preach from here. Now, you must make decisions. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what it is. Every time you see us sit down in meetings, we are making new decisions, changing the old ones, making new ones. And that's why how to learn leadership, first of all, in your own life, is that you should learn how to begin to make the right choices in your life. Because if you don't make the right choices in your own life, I wonder what you will do when we now put the destiny of other people in your hands. You follow to this point. So a leader must make right decisions. I won't say much about that because I'm going to continue with it tomorrow. But let me just give you an instruction tonight. Don't make decisions based on emotions. There are about three or four things that shouldn't control your decisions. One is emotions. Once you are an emotional person, you will make the wrong choices. Emotions. You are too excited. What happened to Herod? on his birthday. He was so excited because the daughter danced. He said, "Hey, my daughter, ask me for anything, I'm going to give you." That's a terrible leader. A leader does not talk out of emotions because he knows his word is law. The child said, "Okay, give me John the Baptist." Said, "Do you know he didn't want to do it?" Do you know that? Can I find that in the Bible? Because John the Baptist was a great man. Was a great man. Where's my mobile phone? I have it here. Okay, it's here. John the Baptist was a very great man. Herod never wanted to kill him. Are you aware? Let me show you. There's a scripture that tells us that Herod used to sneak into John the Baptist's prison to go and hear him preach. Let me get that from my notes. I don't know. Oh, yes. Are you getting blessed? Glory to God. Let's see Mark 6:20. I don't know whether I got it right, but let's just see it. Okay. Give me the next verse. Oh, yes. Okay, well, maybe that's not it. Well, I'll get it for you. Maybe tomorrow we're going to look at it. But go back to that verse 20. I want to show you. Go back to that verse. That Mark 6, verse 20. Huh? Yes. Go to verse 20. Just the previous verse. You are there. Just the previous. Yes. NLT said, "For Herod respected John, and knowing that he was a good and holy man, he protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked with John. But even so, he liked to listen to him." That's, if you use the translations, and there's another verse I'm going to show you maybe tomorrow, you will find, give me like a Black Classic and maybe other recent translations. Aha. And continually kept under guard. When he heard, he was much perplexed. Yet he would go to the prison. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When he was in chain, and be listening to him. He used to pain him. But he would just be listening. So he never wanted to kill John. Anyway, I wanted to cite this to show you that leadership actually influenced, right? Paul was in prison. John was in prison, but he had something. And even in prison, Herod will come. Guess John the Baptist's age at this point. It's very easy. It was either 30 or 31. So how do you know, sir? He was 6 months older than Jesus. Jesus died at 33. So it was like that. He was a very small boy, that's what I'm saying. I get to the point. So leadership is not about age. Well, that's by the way. Now, Herod never wanted to kill him, but he was an emotional person. Ask me for anything. The way you dance, oh boy. See that dance, anything you ask. He said, "Give me John the Baptist," said. And he made a terrible decision as a leader just because he didn't know that a leader does not make choices and decisions out of emotions. Maybe because you are too excited, maybe you are too sad. Things just happen, we are just so feeling so bad. I will never call him again. You are just emotional. Just emotional. I will never go to that church again after everything I've been through. Don't make choices out of emotions. Don't make emotional choices. Because when you become a leader eventually in your home, you cannot make choices out of emotions. Your child comes back from school, takes 17th out of 19th. Right? God forbid, I know. But that person has 17th, somebody's child. And they are now so angry. Emotions. I'm moving you from that school. In fact, for the next step, you're not going to school again. Is it a problem? You don't make decisions out of emotions. Anybody that makes emotional decisions is a weak leader. So as I said, one major thing the leader must learn is how to act. You are angry with your wife. And your emotion, that's not the time to make any decision. In fact, in this house from tomorrow, no more breakfast. No more breakfast. Because I've been providing for everyone. You know, that's the problem. Even if I provide for breakfast, you don't cook it from tomorrow. Until we die, no more breakfast in this house. That's
That's not a serious person.
You know, that's how you also make decisions in your own life. When your emotions are high, you just make choices. Don't make choices out of it. Another time, another wrong reason to make a decision is pressure. You can't make any decision out of pressure, under pressure. I always say, ask Esau. He was so hungry. That I may not feel that I'm in relationships today that you shouldn't be in at all. But you know, you are under pressure from the world. Because everybody you're met is actually saying, how can I not have any relationship in my life? You are under pressure. You've not seen the woman of your dreams. You forge. You say, well, just say yes to me. The problem is the person finally drowns your life. You're under pressure. Imagine that's how I am. Look, there are pastors that are like that actually. You mean, Pastor Henry, they want to start building house. Ah, we too will build though. It's like everybody that are with and I'm building houses have to build pressure. Comparison. That's another wrong reason. Comparison. Why did you make up your mind to become what you are today? Why did you start smoking? Was it really because you loved the taste of cigarettes? Or is it because every other person was smoking it and you wanted to become part of it? That's a sign of weakness. When you are beginning to do things because everybody is pushing you to do it, you've not learned how to make proper decisions. Is it that you like cigarettes and when you smoke it, it used to make you, it's like butter or ice cream. You smoke it, you say, so sweet. Is that why you smoke? It's not when you start smoking because friends are influencing you, you now bring other reasons behind it. Say, it gives me high. It gives me vibe. It makes me think loud. So you are so not intelligent that you need such a substance to actually increase your intelligence. So it's when I smoke that I think very high. So you know that was when you are married and you want to make decisions in your home, you say, baby, excuse me. Baby, I'm coming. Give me 1 minute. I know what's an important decision now, whether we should travel to UK or to Canada. But I think, well, when I'm high, check and touch a low one, then you now smoke one, and you now come back and say, I think we should go to Spain. You know. So why do you do the things you do? Get to a point where you make choices. Because I tell you, every young boy, and I'm not saying this angrily, every young boy that have gone through school, especially some of you that went into school as serious believers, have tested a stick of cigarette at least once. Not because they like it. Pressure. Pressure. And it shows how weak. It's just like the whole widespread of internet fraud today. Everybody's talking, oh, Yahoo, Yahoo, Yahoo. Many people doing all those things. It's just pressure from society. It's just pressure. People are just saying, if you don't make money now, waiting you get, blah, blah, blah. You now say, it's even true. Let me just do something. First question is your family really that broke? Or you just want to do something because others are doing it? He says, I don't know how broke my family is. Do you want us to share the story of our brokenness in our family? Some people come from more broke homes than you. I just told you a few minutes ago of the kind of family I grew up, the kind of family house I had. Did I tell you? Yeah? You bath outside one day. You know, this is why you bath in the bathroom and you sing. It's because of the bathroom you're bathing. That's the bathroom you enter, you can sing what? You are watching, so be sure a snake will not bite you. And that's not figure of speech, literally. Because someone has seen snake in the bathroom, just went to bath. Oh, these things. Now, our point is, we all become those things because we are under pressure. Why is a 19-year-old boy, a 20-year-old boy, bothered that he doesn't have Benz? Seriously. 20 years old. He wants to drive Benz. What are you doing with it? He says, sir, but if I drive it, you know the problem with making money that early? I've prayed for you guys that you guys will make it early. Yes. But I'm also praying that you are wise. Because most times when that money comes, you don't even know what to do with it. So how do you know that someone is a Yahoo boy? Or that a Yahoo boy has picked money? He shows in everything. He will buy three things he doesn't need. Right? He's taking like a baby. He's not even ready for that money he got. He will buy many clothes. Say this one is Gucci, he will buy it. It doesn't even fit him, he will buy it. He will not go and buy short sneaker that he doesn't need to wear. And now buy a car. And now look, just come out. End point is, he's not even ready for the money he got. Why did he get into that kind of thing? He's not thinking, what if I get caught? He said, no, he can never be caught. He said, this is Nigeria. When they catch you, you pay your way out. I really hope so. I really hope you're from a rich family and that you've stacked up money. That when you get into serious EFCC, basic, that at the stage you bring 25 million, I really hope you have family and friends that can gather for you and deliver you. I really pray so. Because I know someone that was arrested for being, he wasn't a Yahoo boy actually, but that he was in their company, so they caught all of them. Right? And a serious squad, because not this roadside squad. When a serious squad pick you. So he tried to convince them. He finally convinced them that he wasn't part of it. Because they saw his phone. They had no proof. Why not? It's Nigeria. They said, okay, we've agreed. But he paid about 6 million to come out. Like, they finally seen that he's totally free. But he pays him not. Now, and I asked him, people that are now, how much did they pay? He said, sir, some are still there. He said, the first guy, when he got there, he didn't waste time. He gave them 12 million and left. That's okay. So all these small boys now, I hope they catch you. I kept like 30 million somewhere. Because you are not even thinking about the consequences. Why did you make that choice? Pressure. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's trying to make money. Everybody's trying to blow. So I just have to do my own, so I'll blow. So when my friends are riding mess, me too will ride mess. When I spray money in event, me too will spray money in event. Let me say this to you. Whether Yahoo is good or bad is not the argument today. The question is, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? It's just unnecessary pressure. But then we're talking about Yahoo, and you guys, everybody's nodding, yes, yes, I talk to them. I'm saying you now, in your everyday life, why do you even dress the way you dress? Who influenced you? Is it because the clothes fit you? Or because that's what everybody... No, you must come to a point, because if you're not careful, I know a pastor that shut down his church in a particular city. I won't call them of the city. Do you know why? He kept demanding of them. The member told me. He will go to another church and come back and tell them, that church down the street, they are about 50. We are bigger than them. And you see the keyboard they have, 8 million. If you don't raise this money today, I'm not coming to church next Sunday. I'm serious. And the whole church, they will gather and raise the money. They will buy the keyboard. You see camera. He said, people are not serious. See the camera that church has. Look at the one we have here. People are not givers. You're not givers. He got to a time. People began to quietly just exit the church. The church shut down. Literally. He's not an old man, a young guy, I know. So shut down. You know why? He had not learned how to make right choices, even as a human being. Like, you get it, but not as a person. He's still influenced by what people say, what people wear, and all of that. One of the things you are blessed with, if you have that, was me very well in this pastoring thing. I'm a very content person as a pastor. If you pay attention, I don't do things because others are doing it. I do things because I want us to do it. As a matter of fact, mine is even bad. It's not as if you are doing something, that's even why I will not even... It will take the Holy Spirit to convince me to do a thing because you are now doing it. Because I want to be sure I'm not responding to pressure. I'm not trying to... Because if I do it, all of you are going to follow me. Imagine it's not time for us to build now. But I've seen some of my friends building. I say, ah, how can they be building and we are not building? After all, we are bigger than them. Let us start our own building. I've led, now whether the building succeeds or fails is not the problem. Even if we complete the building, the fact is I've led an entire hundreds of God's children away from God's plan for their life because I'm just trying to compare and fight and come under pressure. I get the point. There's a school
your child will attend and his future will be set. God knows that school. You must find that school. But if because you don't know how to make right decisions, you've not even learned how to be led by the Spirit, how to follow divine leading, you're just choosing school by which one is reigning now. You now put your child. That's where he's going to meet the boy that is going to deceive him to become gay. He'll now attend the school for one term and come back. And you say Anthony. Say, it's not Anthony, it's Antonia. He said, how did I end up with a boy like this? Just one wrong choice. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? You almost learn to make that choices. Don't come under pressure, any kind of pressure. Or even sentiment. That one is even another matter. Tomorrow, I'll open this matter. Amen. Because I want us to talk about something else today before we close. You see, that one we call sentiment. Some people are too sentimental. Why do you do the things you do? So that nobody is going to say that I'm not this. Let them say. Once you know that with God and before God, you are making the right choices, you've prayed, let them say things. One of the best choices I made in my life at a time, but I will not tell you the story, but it's around something about relationships. It was a difficult choice, but I had to make that choice. And why was it hard for me to make it? Sentiment. What are people going to say? What if they say this and all that? I wanted to make the decision at a time in church and in my life, and I knew it was going to affect church. So I knew it was what God wanted me to do, but I was just very sentimental. So I spoke with my spiritual father. I said, Dad, I want to do this. But church people are going to talk. They're going to say I'm this and I'm that. And he told me something. He said, people should talk. Students talk. People talk. So let young people talk. That's what they do. And that day, as he was saying, the Holy Ghost began to speak to me. Holy Ghost said to me, the people that are in your church now, if I tell this story of this decision, many of you here don't even know it. Because you're not even here when it happened. And that's what God told me that day. He said, people that are in your church now are not even up to 5% of the people that will ever be in your church. So why will you, because of these few people, make a wrong choice for yourself that will affect the 90-something percent that will come to the church later? That changed my life. I said, no, I'm going to do the right thing. I feel what I'm talking about. You must not be sentimental. How do I say it before? It is detrimental to be sentimental. And it's not about rhymes. It's actually true. Don't make choices out of sentiment. How are they going to talk? How are they going to see me? Some of you are even making... I'm not even talking about sin. You are making some choices. Holy Ghost, should I say this? Some of you are making some terrible choices because I'm just being sentimental. You are earning 100,000. You know that where you are now, you cannot train 3 of your siblings in school. And your family says you train 3 of them in school. You know you cannot. You know you can only handle 1. But if I say it now, what will people say? How they will now say that I don't care about my family. And so you now take 3 of them. Then you get stuck at a point, you suffer. 15 years after, you are complaining. I would have been great in life. If not that people say I should be training these children. No, nobody failed you. You are just sentimental. What happened to sir? I can handle 1 for now. Do you know there are relationships that have ended, that should have ended 15 years ago? But it's still happening because the people in it are sentimental. If we break up now, what will people say? All the people that know us together that have even called us husband and wife, what would they now say? Oh, my family. What will my family say? They won't be looking at us like, so after all these things, people do not now marry. But you know you're already dead in the relationship. Sentiments. The problem is, when you finally marry that person, and you guys have a bad marriage, those same people will still talk. I know a couple. I won't tell you who. Real life story. This was their own story. It was going so bad. But they were believers, leaders in a very conservative fellowship. You know those kind of fellowships where Jim fellowship. And they had already said they were going to get married. Things were going bad. They insisted and they got married. Because they were being sentimental. Because they entered the relationship and found out that they missed God. They found out that they didn't actually hear from God perfectly. They found out they made the wrong choice. But they were just what people say, and they got married. So how do you know this? They told me themselves. Yes. Those themselves. Got married. As I'm talking to you, They are still married though. But they are just in their different rooms. They only share parlor. They have not yet gone a separate ways again because people are going to say something. I said, why didn't you avoid this season of your life? Why didn't you go your separate ways when you guys were not even married? He said, you know, people have known us. I was the prayer secretary. She was the... Let me not give other details so that... So that it would have been somehow, if we now say we're marrying, we're not marrying again, people will now be looking at us somehow. They will now say, like, we did not hear God. I said, what is the worst that would have happened? They will remove both of you from leadership. That's the worst, Abby. The people are not serious, discipline both of you. After 1 year, people will come back and start serving. Everybody will move on with their life. Now, both of you have put yourselves in bondage. Guess who is suffering the whole thing? Their children. Their children know that their parents are separated while living in the same home, pretending to every other person that they are men of God and that they have a happy home, but are separated in their home. Only the kids know. Think of the impact it will have on them and how they even see men of God. No, they begin to see men of God as pretenders. That's what it is. When you are preaching, they say, yeah. You know, this is why my father and mother is preaching, that they don't even talk to themselves at home. That's it. Because of one sentimental decision. One strong choice that I should have just made, I will solve everything. A leader must make tough decisions. Are you aware? There are times in your life where you have to make tough choices. Those tough choices might be, I will stop talking to this boy. It's a tough choice. I have to leave this community I belong to. I have to leave this friendship. I've had times of tough decisions in my life, and it has helped us in church now. Because when it is time to make tough decisions, it's not hard for me. I make very tough choices. It can be hard, but I'll make it. So what are tough choices you can make as a leader? I've closed down my center. This center will no longer exist. Right? When we started this church newly, we had two leaders that I put in place, and they began to have issues. Their fight became so tough that it was telling church apart. I removed both of them. Now, you must not be sentimental. And that removing me has saved both of them. One of them is still with us today, growing, doing so well, solid, doing so well in our work with God. Now, if I didn't make that difficult choice then, you say, both of you are going to go. Maybe I was considering, how would they feel? They will start feeling bad. People will now say, I feel I'm talking about. There are tough choices a leader must make. I must be ready to make them. You can't be sentimental when you need to make the right choice. It is sentimental why parents cannot even discipline their children again, because they just say, she will feel bad. If I tell her now that I'm not going to, she will feel bad. That's the problem now. Let them feel bad. They will be fine. You can't make choices out of this from sentiments. You can't be sentimental about your choices. You can't make choices under pressure. One of the things I'm going to say to you is, we are going to talk about prayer and all of that tomorrow, but please, learn to think things through. Away from pressure, away from emotions, away from sentiments. Just, how did I say it at the beginning? Call yourself meeting. Call a board meeting. You should attend. You are the chairman of the board. But you're also the attendee. And you sit down there and you tell yourself, apart from all this, and people will say, what do I really want? What is actually right by God's word? What should I actually do as a Christian? Talk to yourself and make the right choice that you have to make. Tomorrow I will say more about it. Talk to yourself. Call yourself for a meeting. What's the right thing? Because you are learning to be a leader. Because today you are making a choice for yourself. Tomorrow you have to make a choice for your family. Tomorrow you have to make a choice for your company. Tomorrow you have to decide whether your company is going to expand, whether we're going to get a merger, whether we're going to partner with these people. Tomorrow there's going to be three propositions on your desk. These people wanted to partner with them. These other people wanted to do this with them. You have to be able to make the choice. Say, we're going to partner with these guys. We won't partner with these guys. That time is coming. And if making small, small choices in your life, you are still being sentimental. When that time comes, you still be sentimental. And say, even though I know this people's deal is not looking so good, but this is my old brother. This is my brother from another mother. He's not following me this evening. That sentiment that you've been using to make your choice in your own life, you've carried it to your business. 3 years down the line, everything goes down. Someone getting blessed this evening. Learn how to make right choices. Because leadership is all about making decisions at the end of the day. Deciding to move or to stand. Deciding to expand or to increase. I told you guys in this church, I know I've led you guys through some parts that when I announced those things that we're going to do, you said from your seat, please, Pastor, okay. But that's a leader.
Make tough choices.
It can be negative or positive. Right? When I came up last year and said, we're going to do 30 days of lights. That was a difficult announcement to make. In other words, I'm demanding that people are going to be coming to church every day for 30 days. I've seen it in the spirit. God has shown me through his word that this is what actually we need to do. Now, I had to make that choice. Even though I know people are going to get, church for that, I'm a student, I'm a worker, I get the points. It has to be made. And it has made people better. Today, I'm talking about 30 days of light. Nobody's making a face. Everybody's, many of you are even anticipating the program. Somebody told me that meeting is my best meeting of the year, every year. I get the point. And that's why some of you, because I'm sentimental, you cannot make good choices for your children. And tomorrow they will suffer it. A father should get to a time where he will say, from now to the next 1 week, no more television in this house. Because I've noticed you guys are into screen too much. Guess what is going to happen? They'll come to the room and start crying. Daddy, please, we need to watch TV. If you don't watch TV, you are abusing us emotionally. If father was able to make the right choices, make the tough choice. I say no TV for 1 week. I follow what I'm saying. But when you're a sentimental person, say, how will they feel? That's why this thing we call mental health. Any small thing, you say their mental health is affected. That's why we have weak people all over the place. Very weak people. I know there is something called mental health, but not all these two guys are doing with it. Very weak people. People can no longer stand their ground and make choices that will shake people. That's why you know, weak leaders all over the place. Nobody likes following a weak leader. That's the truth. That is the truth. But the things we achieve in this place is strong leadership. Yes. So I will insist we must go that way. If you come into this church, whether you are a skilled keyboardist, whether you are the best drummer from where you are coming from, you must go through our training school before you become anything. We say, I don't like that. Why must they try to tell us what to do? Well, that is what strong leadership is. I know somebody met me outside. Thank God for the young man. He has left us. God bless him. He came newly. He said he has a skill. He can sing. He told everybody in church, told pastors. The pastor told him, see, you just go through PGTI. The guy said, No. I'll start the class. But as I start the class, can I at least be serving in the expression? Because my voice, I don't like not using my voice to serve God. They tried to convince him, so he didn't want to hear. So he messaged me on Facebook. I said, sir, I love the Lord. I want to sing. I didn't say anything to him. So after one Saturday, he came around. He walked up to me and met me. I said, and repeated himself. I said, I love your heart. And sincerely, I loved his heart. I think he has passion for God. I think he loves the Lord. I said, but this is how we do it here. For instance, there is a church you are coming from, right? He said, yes. There are things they believe that we don't believe. There are ways they see things that we don't see things. We want you to begin to see things like us before you can serve us. I told him, for instance, you want to sing in the choir. Let's even hope we put you in the choir. There are songs we sing here that are peculiar to only this church. Are you aware? There are songs we sing you can never hear from another place. We wrote them. We sing them. They are our songs. How can we put you in the choir to lead a song you don't even know? He said, I will learn. I said, how many will you learn? But if you are here for 3 months, you go through that training. I get what I'm talking about. I explained to him. He said, okay. He never came back. And I didn't budge. I didn't feel bad. It's not a big deal. Now, another person would have said, oh, I don't want to lose this guy. This guy's a talent. He's a talent. Let's not lose him. Let him come in. Just come in. Come in. Come and stay. No, that's weakness. You didn't get the point. Let me tell you. Anybody who circumvents your process for, or you cut your process for, will later come back to hurt that system. Never forget it, and I said. You see your office, you're hiring people, everybody's going to go to an interview, but because this one is a cousin. He's a cousin from another mother, from, how they say it? You now say, no interview. Even though you had two, or you had third class, you did not do anything. Do not pass. Just come in and work. Come and work. I give you a few months, few years, that will be the problem you have in that company. Yes. That's why even if big, great
leaders now know this thing. CEOs now know. Even for their own children, they will make their children go through the process in their company. Make them rise from this to this. Because once you cut that process, and cut, if the person is coming back to a hot start system eventually. I get to the point. Somebody comes from somewhere and says, I'm pastor, this. I want to join your church. People wrote me, that was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. A young man, married, sent me a mail. Said, I love what God is doing in your church. The Lord has led us to join you to do the work. I said, okay. I ignored the mail at first. They kept sending it. So one day I replied, I said, come, let me see you guys. So they came. Great men, great man, great woman, all of that. And they shared their vision with me. I said, well, if God actually told you to come and join us here, you have to go through this process. You don't expect me to just make you a pastor now. It's not what you're expecting. I'm not going to do that. And they said, okay. They didn't continue with us. And I have no problem. We still talk. I have no problem with them. Are you cool I'm talking about? I have no problem with them. We still talk. Like, we are cool. Like, really cool. But nothing is going to change about how things are done. And that's why you cannot be sentimental. You can't make a good leader. I get the point. I'm not tough. I don't think I'm tough. I'll just explain to you calmly. I'll even take like 30 minutes to show you why. But things have to be done the right way. I say it again. Anybody you circumvent the process for, you cut corners for, you sideline the process for, they are coming back eventually to halt that system. If not now, tomorrow, they'll come back out of that system. So learn to make tough choices. There are choices that you should make as a man. When you make it, go back to your room, lie down and start crying. Because you know that choices you make, you know that the right choice, but it will pain you. When you make it, can't cry. After you cry, clean up and come out. You must make choices that are tough. That's what makes you a leader at the end of the day. Are you following me, friends? That's what makes you a leader. Must make tough choices. Make it, go home and cry. I've ended a relationship that when I ended, I cried. Sir, you, yes, me. For days. Just I don't know how to cry for long. I don't know how to be down for a long time. But I felt bad. So why are you feeling bad? The first thing I was feeling bad was, this thing about, I'm saying this to help some of you. You mean it's now me that broke somebody's heart? And now we call the heart. I felt bad. After feeling bad, the bad feeling could not take me back to the relationship. the bad I was feeling was not strong enough. I felt bad. But it is what it is. Amen. Learn to make tough choices. Maybe this is where God wants to help some of you today. Learn to make difficult choices. Difficult choices. Once you've checked the word of God, checked the process, sought counsel, ask people that matter to you, you've done everything you're meant to do, which I'm going to show you tomorrow. You've prayed, and this is the way to go. Go that way. God will help us. We're going to just take some worship songs now. We're going to sing just very shortly. And once we do that, I'm going to come back and bring a final teaching for us. Has this meeting blessed you so far? These men, all men's meeting, so that a few things we're going to say. Amen. So we're going to lift our hands in worship just in a few minutes. I'm going to worship from our hearts. Glory to God. To prepare us for that. Because the next session that is coming is healing the male child. You know, it's always an anticipated session. It's going to heal the male child. And we are going to make right choices. Amen. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are with the words that you heard this evening.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.